The three steps to experience attitude breathing are as follows. Step number one, begin by recognizing an unwanted attitude that you are experiencing, a feeling or attitude that you want to change. This could be anxiety, sadness, despair, depression, self-judgment, guilt, anger, overwhelm, anything that's distressing. Step number two, identify and breathe in a replacement attitude. Select a positive attitude and then breathe the feeling of that new attitude in slowly and casually through your heart area. Do this for a while to anchor the new feeling. Examples of unwanted feelings and attitudes may include feelings of stress, anxiety, overwhelm, sadness, depression, guilt, and examples of feelings and attitudes that may replace those include the breathing of a neutral feeling to chill out and revitalize, the breathing of calm and balance, the breathing of ease and peace, the breathing of appreciation and non-judgment, or the breathing of compassion and non-judgment. Step number three, as you breathe a replacement attitude, tell yourself to take the big deal and the drama out of the negative feeling or the attitude. Tell yourself, take the significance out. Take the significance out. Repeat this over and over as you use attitude breathing until you feel the shift or the change. Remember that even when a negative attitude feels justified, the buildup of emotional energy will block up your system. Have a genuine I mean business attitude and heart intent to really move those emotions into a more coherent state. It could take a few minutes of attitude breathing, but it's worth the practice. With step number three, we conclude our exercise of attitude breathing. Throughout the years, I've visited with many indigenous families from various cultures throughout the world, and as different as their traditions have been from one another, a common theme runs through all of them. That theme is the power of the heart to change our bodies, heal our lives, and create unity in our families and communities. While modern science largely discounted the very essence of such traditions in the past, the results of studies from IHM and other organizations are giving new credibility to the wisdom of our most ancient and cherished spiritual traditions. Although our ancestors certainly didn't use what we recognize as the scientific method to prove what they knew, their techniques of heart-based prayer, meditation, and healing appear to have been firmly rooted in their knowledge of the heart's ability to influence our bodies and our lives. When I began to understand this fact as a young adult, it affected me in two profound ways. The first was that knowing about such a relationship made any other discipline I could ever study pale in comparison. After all, what could possibly be more important than unlocking the mysteries of the single organ in our bodies that is designed to connect us with our everyday world and even beyond? The second effect was to stimulate my curiosity. If our ancient ancestors were so right about the power of the heart and its role in our lives, what else did they know in their own time that we've forgotten in ours? Transformation begins with us. It's been said that the United States is a nation of communities. As true as this statement is for America, I believe it's equally true for all nations of the world. Through my research into the world's ancient and indigenous traditions, and the opportunities I've been given to share what I've found with audiences on nearly every continent, I've experienced the reality of this statement. From Tokyo, Japan to Lima, Peru, from Cairo, Egypt to Bangkok, Thailand, the biggest cities in the world are made up of many small communities, each able to sustain itself on some levels while still needing to interact with other communities at other levels. These huge urban complexes are made of local communities where people with similar heritages and backgrounds and interests and ways of life have found common ground in their need to connect. On an afternoon stroll through New York City, for example, the difference between the area known as Chinatown and that of Little Italy is pronounced as you make your way from one neighborhood to the other. Yet as different as they are from one another, you're still in the same city as you pass from one community to the next. While the community-centered nature of a city may be obvious, it's important to identify it here because of the role that individuals, their states of mind, and their resilience play within the community. Psychiatrist M. Scott Peck summed up this idea clearly and logically when he said, quote, "For the reality is there can be no vulnerability without risk, and there can be no community without vulnerability, and there can be no peace and ultimately no life without community." End of quote. We are communal beings by nature, and living in communities of any size helps us to meet our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, as well as providing opportunities to lead a healthy, joyous, and meaningful life. Because communities fill so many of our needs, it's not surprising that they also provide a way for us to share our vision of a better world and what it takes to get there. I've known people who've devoted their entire adult lives to their own self-improvement. They found the ways to heal the hurts of childhood, the abuse from unhealthy relationships, and even the health crises they face in later years that commonly accompany the issues of low self-esteem, poor diet, and loss of personal value. From early in life, they've done all of the work for themselves, yet they wonder why the rest of the world doesn't seem to reflect the healthy values they've arrived at in their own lives. This is where the value and the power of community come in. While we can spend a lifetime improving ourselves, and this can be a very good thing, having community around us gives us a way to carry our work to the next level. In a community, we can share the benefit of our lifetime of work with others who are interested yet have not had the same opportunities that we've had to discover the rich truths of personal power and resilience. While it's always been healthy in the past to find other people willing to learn together and share their innermost values as they pertain to everyday life, today, it's vital. In this time of extremes, the resilience that we develop as individuals becomes even more effective, powerful, and potent when it can be applied by our families, friends, and neighbors. When we share our healing insights, we find the answer to what it takes to create a way of life that reflects the values we've discovered through our personal journey. In the foreseeable future, it will be the communities that choose to adapt to the extremes of the new normal that will fare better, meaning they will be stronger and better able to help others transform their lives in our time of extremes.